Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Thank you for joining us on the Riot Podcast, Righteous Invasion of Truth. This is your host, Pete Robertson, along with...
Hey, Pete, this is Bob Schoeneman.
And Barry Rice. What's happening?
What's up, gentlemen? How you doing? How's your week? What's new?
Had a great week. Had a great week. We celebrated a nice birthday party, didn't we, Barry?
Absolutely. My wife had a birthday, and boy, I got to step it up next year because it's a big one. It's our 30th anniversary, and it's her big birthday, so I got to do something special.
Yeah, it's a big birthday. We're just not going to say what big birthday
it
is.
You notice he didn't even give the number. He did say 30th anniversary, though, so you know you could probably figure it out.
Put it all
together. She wasn't 20 when I married her, but yeah, okay.
I got married young.
I heard we're going on a cruise to celebrate next year.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of cruises, have y'all gone on a cruise lately? Nobody has, right?
Nobody.
I don't think that's happening right now. I think that might, hopefully, Lord willing, next year. I think they've already canceled, the first part of the year, too, right? So maybe towards the end, they start opening up.
I got an email from Royal Caribbean yesterday, said they've canceled everything through the end of the year. So he apologized and... You know, the whole, well, we got to be safe. So everything is canceled until at least January 1st.
Yeah, and I heard something, didn't you? Aren't you the one that told me that they're looking at possibly doing like a test run with their new protocols or something and giving away like free cruises or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. In the letter, he said that they have 3,000 employees back in ships and, you know, making the ships are running and kind of doing fun stuff like that. But so hopefully we got light at the end of the tunnel, but... Yeah, that's a year away.
You know what would be really fun is to have all of our listeners go with us on our cruise.
I agree. That would be a blast.
Yeah, we can have like a big old podcast party or something.
I was going to say, can we do the podcast on the ship?
Oh, absolutely. It just need, Wi-Fi? I think.
Hey, the only reason why I go on cruises is for the food, so I'm all for it, right? You know?
I do
you can
like,
blame it on the protocols if you want.
I do like the variety of food you get. I mean, there is a plethora of options, that's for sure.
Well, the variety I like is I can order New York strip and filet and get it on the same plate. So I love the variety, absolutely.
Absolutely. And then you can keep going back over and over again. I can order 4 different desserts and they keep bringing it. So let's talk about, something fun that's happening or that's coming up or that's happened to you?
So yeah. I noticed, Pete, that you have your Christmas decorations up, and my family, Crystal and Samantha, were kind of egging me on, pushing me to get my Christmas decorations up this year. So Sunday night, we broke out the lights and lit up the house in red and green, Sammy has always wanted one of those, you know, those blow-up things you put on your lawn?
Yeah.
She wanted some crazy ones. I don't remember, something with an elf or, you know, whatever. But so I'm like, you know what? I'll be a little spiritual about it. And I will get her a baby Jesus blow up doll or blow up thing to go in the front yard. So it's got, you know, Joseph and Mary and they're holding baby Jesus. So we put that up Sunday night.
I think it's called a nativity scene.
Is that what it is? See, that's why we have you religious leaders here.
It's not Ricky and Bobby baby Jesus.
Ricky Bobby. So Sammy and I set that up on Sunday night, and she was so excited to help me, and we got it all set up. Monday, while Sammy's at school, the landscapers came, and the grass was really long, so it needed to be cut, and got all that stuff taken care of. And then last night, I go to pick up Samantha at school at about 5:30, and as you guys know, with the time change, it's getting dark earlier and earlier, so the sun had already set. I'm bringing Sammy home. It's dusk, and I've got the... all the Christmas lights set to go off at dusk, right? So on an automatic timer. So when I leave, they're not on yet, but by the time I get back with Samantha, the Christmas lights are all on, but baby Jesus is laying flat on the ground.
Oh no.
Apparently the edger or the trimmer when the guys were doing the landscaping cut the bottom of it. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you, I was not a happy camper. Literally had it up for less than 24 hours. I take a picture of this about 10-inch hole that's gashed in the bottom of it and send it to my landscaper, and I have to go back and check. I'm pretty sure I was nice, but I didn't feel nice.
Was that a crack?
I was not happy, and so Lord, forgive me for my anger.
Poor baby Jesus.
Poor baby Jesus. But yeah, so I mean, it's rightful. Is that how you say it? Rightful anger or something like that? Anyway,
indignation.
Thank you. Again, that's why you guys are here.
Well, every circumstance is an opportunity to bring glory to God.
Amen to that. So anyway.
I wonder if that's how Jesus really feels deflated about his birthday and Christmas.
The puns are never going to end. I knew I shouldn't have told
deflated.
This story. So here's the happy ending for baby Jesus. My landscaper knocks on the door about an hour and a half later with a brand new box and brand new baby Jesus.
Aww.
He's so sorry. He looks at Samantha. He's like, I am so sorry. And he just made everything right. So there's a reason this guy has done cut our grass for us for 10 years.
Well, he had to, like, did Jesus. And is he a believer? Do you know?
I don't know.
Well,
don't
man, know. Now he knows about Jesus.
But now, we definitely had a talk about baby Jesus history.
I could see Samantha saying, Samantha is Bob's daughter, you killed the Son of God.
Oh my God.
You sound like Peter in Acts 3, right?
But the gardener brought him back to life.
Very nice.
My goodness. That's awesome.
All right, guys, that's a wrap.
I have to get my blood test every once in a while. I guess we all do. And I am absolutely not a big fan of being a needle guy. I am just scared of getting my shot. And so whenever I go get my blood test, the first thing I ask is, do you have one of those chairs you can lay down in? And I get teased all the time. It's like, wait, are you going to pass out on me? Are you going to faint? I says, well, no, not really. If I can lay down, I mean, there's no... it might happen. Do you have a smelling salt? You might have to keep it close. But anyway, so they start babying me, you know? So I go in and they're just like, ensure, like, oh, okay. Are you feeling okay? Is everything fine? And literally, I mean, I do everything I can to not go get blood tests. Now shots, little like flu shots or whatever, that's easy. But the blood test, I don't know what it is. Taking stuff out of me, it just freaks me out. And so I go, I lay down and I look away and then I start breathing heavily. And I start doing like worship songs in my mind to keep my mind distracted. And they're trying to talk to me because they think that helps, and it doesn't help me. So I have to like get my mind off of it. And so I'm doing worship songs. And then I go and they do the blood, and it's never a big deal. It's usually bad. But I've had some really bad ones though, where my whole arm like got all whatever. And I think there's just trauma, PTSD or something. In my past. But then afterwards they're like, oh, do you want a juice box? Did that help? And I was like, no, I don't need a juice box. And then I try to get up and they're like, no, don't get up right away. Stay down. You need to sit for as long as you want. And then they have this fan and some of them are fanning me and making do. But I gotta get blood this week. So pray for me, please.
Why do I feel like I just got a picture of you just laying there with somebody fanning you and feeding you grapes? I'm thinking this is a whole
That's
ploy.
What I need to ask for next time is grapes.
You know, my record is this one lady stuck me 7 times.
Oh my gosh.
She couldn't get any blood out. I said, I was trying to convince her I am alive, kind of like, you know, bring out your dead. But I'm feeling okay, you know. I feel great. I feel well. But she couldn't find the blood. My story for this week was I spent a lot of time planning a birthday gathering for my wife. But her birthday was on a weekday. So the gathering was after her birthday on Saturday. And I could tell that I didn't do enough on the day of her birthday. I could tell that she was kind of down and upset. And I kind of really dropped the ball on the day of, but I made up for it over the weekend. So I had a couple days that I wasn't such a great guy. You know what I mean? Y'all ever been through that?
Yeah.
Nope. Never.
Explain it. What happened? We want to know details.
Yeah, I'm not giving the details, but you know, it wasn't a great day. On top of it, I ordered her a very, very nice top, and I showed her a picture of it. It was great, but it didn't come yet. It still has not come. I must have ordered it from Uruguay or somewhere like that. I don't know where it's coming
Is that
from,
a country?
But
from where?
I don't know.
Uruguay.
So it wasn't her way, I tell you that. It didn't come her way. Maybe Ur has it, but
So was everything made better Saturday night when you after the party?
Yes, yes. I was blown away. 50-some people showed up to her birthday party, and I only invited about 12. I don't know how that happened. No, it was really encouraging to her. Everybody that showed up and really was a blessing to her. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think people just really want to get out and do something. That's why so many people showed up. They wanted to do a party. They wanted to have fun. They wanted to relate. So I'm seeing a lot of that right now. How about you guys?
You had 50 people in the middle of a pandemic?
I sure did.
Dude, is that illegal? He's a super spreader, I think, isn't he?
Maybe it was 49 then. Maybe it was 49, okay?
Oh, under the 50 mark, he can't be a super spreader.
Yeah, no,
he's
good.
That's it.
I saw that. I was there. There were people outside, so that you can't count those.
Right, true. That's right.
All right, so what book are you reading right now? What's something that's that you're reading that's touching your life or that you've read just recently? Anything?
I'm really excited about a book that I just got in the mail. I haven't started reading it yet, but it's called Unshakable Truth. I think it's like 20 years old, but it's going to touch on the 12 most important truths that we can look at from Josh McDowell and his son, Sean. So I can't wait to get into that.
Yeah, that's an awesome book. He has another book that's kind of similar to that. I believe it's called Right from Wrong. And I think that was the book before The Unshakable Truth, but that is really good. Bob, anything on you or thought?
Yeah, I just wrapped up a book called No Greater Love. It's, again, an older book by A.W. Tozer. And I'm excited to be jumping into another book that's probably about 10 years old by David Platt called Radical. So I'm just breaking into that.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to those two things. And then my Bible reading right now, I'm reading Isaiah and Acts kind of at the same time, which is an interesting combination.
Yeah. You know, I want you guys that are listening, you can't see us right now, but I feel like part of my job is for you to get to know these other two guys. And Bob has the Wall of Fame in his office. And every book that he reads for a year, he puts up a picture of that book. And I guess every house that he sells, he puts up a picture of that house or every house that he has listed and so forth, or couples and something like that. But it's interesting. He always has so many pictures of books on his wall that he read in a year. And I have too, for the whole year. I feel so much less than you, man.
I think that's awesome. I got to start doing that. It's just a reminder of kind of what you read for that year. I love it.
I put I just take a screenshot of the book, and if it's an audible book, do the same thing. And then I write two things on there. I write the date that I finished it, and then I try to write one takeaway that I got from the book. So that's kind of my thing. At the end of the year, I can count them down and see how many I read. But honestly, I'm reading a lot less books than I was in the past. I'm listening to a lot more podcasts, more podcasts, and so. Not reading quite as much, but I'm definitely got lots of content still going in there.
I'm diving deep into, there's a author out there. His name is Michael Heisler. He wrote a book called Unseen Realm, and it just absolutely blew my mind of just seeing the Old Testament and just the Bible come alive in such a new light. And so right now, though, one of his books that I'm reading is called Demons. I just read through his one book called Angels. And what he does, he just basically dissects the actual original language of the Greek and the Hebrew and try to really understand when the Bible uses the word the demons and in that whole supernatural realm, and just really brings it alive. And then he also corresponds it to how the Jews were seeing the scripture from their perspective, their culture, their eyes back in the days. And he just relates it to Jesus and so forth. But I highly recommend Michael Heisler. And Unseen Realm is that. There's another one called Supernatural, one of his books. I've given my son that book, Supernatural, and he just got done reading through it and just kind of sharing with me, how God has just really used that book to help open his eyes. But if you're really wanting to know and understand the Old Testament better, I'm telling you, this author, Michael Heiser, will help you really just see it in a whole different light. I know a lot of Christians, they read the New Testament only, but they don't read the Old Testament. So this will help them.
So Pete, how long are those books? I mean, how many pages average would you say?
Unseen Realm is a thick book, so that's going to take you time. So whenever you read his books, because it does bring things down to the original language, it's going to take you a little bit more time. So it takes me more time to get through these books because it's a little deeper thought. But Supernatural is a skinnier book, so that I always highly recommend to read through that one first. It's a quicker read. It will give you a kind of an overview, basic foundation of his thing. The Unseen Realm, though, book is really, I mean, the meat and potatoes, fascinating book, but it's going to take a little bit of time to get through. And then his book, Angels and Demons, and he has a lot of other ones that really dissect those, that whole, you know, that whole subject. It's going to take you some time. They're medium-sized books. Yeah, so that kind of puts it in perspective.
Very cool. Yeah. If you're out there listening and you're like me, these guys, they just devour books. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. They can read a 300-page book in like a week. It takes me 3 months. But if you can relate to me, it really makes a difference when you read. You really become a better person. And I just want to encourage you with that as I encourage myself. I need to read more, and I hope you do too. And I really admire that about Pete and Bob. They read a lot, and they really devour books, and it's a great thing. It really is.
Well, with that said, let's kind of just move to our next topic, and that's kind of like a pressure point for like what's happening right now and what's relevant. And today's, I think what we're experiencing when we talk to people is people are feeling uneasy. There's some people that are anxious of what's going on with the election and what's going on in our world, COVID.
Especially those being elected.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot that's happening. And I think a lot of people out there are asking the question out loud. It says, I don't know what to believe anymore. I've been hearing that a lot. I don't know what's truth. I don't know what to believe. Another thing that I've heard a lot is I can believe anything nowadays. I mean, oh, aliens came. I can believe that, you know, whatever. I can believe really anything that's happening. And so I think there's a lot of questions and a lot of Christians that might be getting caught up into some of this confusion or some of this chaos or some of this uneasiness. There's so much information that's misleading out there that becomes confusing. And people are really wrestling with what is true, what is not true, what do I believe, what do I not believe. So I think it would be nice for us to kind of like figure out, says, how do we determine what is true and how do we determine what is fake news? And so that's kind of, I would say that's a really good pressure point or really good hot topic. So with that said, I kind of went through and I said, okay, well, what are some truths or what is the scientific community or what are these Stoic philosophers believe or some of these people that are a lot smarter than us believe? And there was three basic things that I came up with. One was empirical truth. And that is a truth that is based on evidence or research and reason. So many of the scientific community would use this truth, and it's something that we hear a lot. You know, the science says about COVID-19, this is what you believe, or climate change, and maybe we could talk about that a little bit later. Another truth is convenient truth, and this truth is like kind of is hard to establish and can be inconvenient when it does not serve an immediate need. So this truth is based more on feelings and is accepted when it best serves this person seeking the truth's needs. So it's kind of moral relativism a little bit. It's kind of what I believe, what I feel, what I think, or how I'm persuaded that would be my truth. And then the last truth would be spiritual truth. And this truth involves a recognition or belief that there's something greater than oneself in control. This truth leans on a higher power that is making the decisions, or someone that is greater than themselves that they can fully trust, a spiritual wise, that is making the decisions. So with all of that said, let's kind of dive in and talk about this. And I guess a question that I would ask is, how do people determine what is true and what is fake news with regarding the election? So like, you know, the hot topic is, you know, they chose a candidate because of climate change or abortion, COVID. They chose it, you know, in that realm. So what in truth kind of relates, or how was people thinking from that perspective? Any thoughts? Maybe I didn't ask that question right. Like from a candidate, or like from when like a Christian that's trying to vote, they're looking at, you know, I'm going to make a truth on COVID-19. My empirical truth is, well, the science community is saying this. But then there's arguments on both sides. Well, there's a science on both sides. There's some science that are saying that to wear a mask is better to not wear a mask unless you're sick, then wear a mask. And then there's other science that are saying, no, you need to wear a mask at all times. So, I mean, that would be an empirical truth or a convenient truth based off of, you know, well, one party says, you know, abortion this and the other party that. So I don't know, any thoughts on how people are coming up with truth? I might have messed that up again.
Well, I think we touched on this a little bit last week. You know, how do you go about as a Christian deciding how to vote? And I remember Barry talking about his sermon series on, you know, how would Jesus vote, or, you know, what would that look like if, you know, if Jesus were voting? But I think the question you're asking is where, as Christians, as we're making that decision on who to vote for, what truth are we using? You know, are we using convenient truth, things that kind of tie on or pull on our heartstrings and our emotions? Are we using empirical truth, which, you know, is scientific, knowing that, you know, over the course of history, the science changes on things, so that may not always be 100% accurate either? Or are we seeking some other source for our truth? And I think that's kind of where you're getting at, that that's probably where we need to be going. What do you think, Barry?
Yeah, I think maybe a way to put it is, what glasses are you wearing? It seems like this empirical truth is you're wearing a scientific fact glasses, and through a convenient truth, you're wearing a touchy-feely how I feel and how it makes me feel glasses to use as a filter for what I see and what I believe and how I go about things. And you know, I think a lot of people are believing what they hear on TV. I think a lot of people are believing as truth what they see on the internet. I think a lot of people are believing what people are saying is true through social media. And where do we go for the ultimate source of truth? There's got to be a place that we can go. There's got to be a place that is consistent, you know, that doesn't change with moods or new discoveries in science, or there's something that has just got to be an anchor. So what I perceive is that there's different types of people and personalities. And when they have different personalities, that they're more of a D personality dominant, and that they look through a very specific lens. If someone is a I or an influencer or someone who is the life of the party and really likes being around a lot of people, they look at things maybe from more of a emotional perspective. And then there's people who are very detail oriented and very scientific, and they just want me to give you the facts, mister, you know, that type of way. And where is the sources really reliable that you're going to get the facts? So all these things have been taken into account by different people. And what I see is that the people with different personality and with the different colored glasses on, they look at things differently, and it's dividing our nation. And that's where my heart is pricked, Pete and Bob, that there is such a divide amongst the people in our nation. Do y'all see that?
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking, I just did a screen grab of something on Twitter, and they were talking about COVID-19. And so if you listen to the news, it's a follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. Well, in the science, there's different points of view. There's people on both sides of the science. And so someone wrote this, and I was just trying to process this. How do we see this as truth, or how do we work through this? Because this is kind of what's being preached out there, or this is kind of what people are stating as fact, when in absolute, it might not be total truth. And so the person said, Trump supporters only care about themselves. They may not be the only reason it's spreading, but they are a major reason it is. Trump supporters are killing Americans by their inability to think as one nation. And so this person is bringing in a truth, saying that, hey, it's because of the Trump supporters, because they don't wear a mask, that the whole world or the whole nation is dying. And so how do we look at that from a Christian perspective? How do we process this statement and formulate what is true according to what God is saying? Any thoughts on that?
Well,
I could say right immediately, how can he say the whole world's dying when it's less than 1%, right? I mean, it's a bias. And when it comes to truth, it shouldn't have a bias, right? I believe that truth should be consistent if it's me, if it's you, if it's a woman, if it's a man, if it's a teenager versus an elderly person, if it's a baby. Truth is truth, and it should be consistent, and it shouldn't change. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah, and I think you got to look at where you're getting, I'm doing air quotes, where you're getting your truth from. So it seems like everybody's biased, right? So both sides of the aisle, they may look at, are getting their sources from one place, and it's almost just like an echo chamber. They're only hearing what they want to hear and seeing what they want to see. And the information or the truth that they think they're gathering, it already represents their point of view, and all it does is reinforce it. They're not looking for anything else. And Pete, you talked about, well, two sides of a medical issue. Well, if where they're getting that so-called truth from has an agenda or a bias, then they're only going to share that information. So the people that are consuming that information are now misinformed, and they think they're getting what is truth. The fact is, they're mainly be getting one side of a story, or worse, the something that rebukes that truth isn't even being shared with them because it would not go along with the story that they're trying to sell. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically, this going back to this thread, this person is basically saying, they're saying, I believe in empirical truth. I believe in what I believe the science to be saying. They're not open to believing that there's an other side of this science. And they also want to believe what they believe, their convenient truth, which is, sorry, which is, this is what I feel is the absolute truth. And so they are basing their opinion or their thought on their empirical truth, which is what they believe the science is saying. And they are believing it based off their convenient truth, which is what they feel and what they think is right based off of what they know. So they associate with the Democratic Party. And so they believe that the Democratic Party is on the side of truth, empirical truth. And so that their statement then becomes relevant in truth, because the Trump side party does not believe in wearing their mask all the time. This is what he says, which I don't know if it's true. And they also believe that that Trump supporters, because they don't do that, are killing people and being super spreaders that are out there. So from that perspective, what is the spiritual truth? How are Christians supposed to look at the empirical, the convenient, and how should we respond to both sides? This is not a Democrat or Republican standpoint. This is a spiritual thing. So how do we look at this in a proper light?
Let me ask you guys this question. Have you ever looked at a cloud and saw something, and as your kids, what do you see? Their perspective, it's all different. Every time I ask my kids that, what do you see? So I ask my kids, what do you see when you look at a cloud? And every one of them says something different. But is there really something there that is legit? Is there really something there that it definitely is? It's a cloud. There's truth there. It's a cloud. And yes, it takes forms. Let me ask you this to our listeners out there. Do you think scientific truth can be manipulated? Do you think that if a scientist wants to get to an end that they're preconceiving that this is the way it is, that they can get there? I think absolutely. I think absolutely. Even with the convenient truth, if you are bent to a certain way and you grew up a certain way and you have a specific passion and feelings towards something, that's going to affect how you feel and how you see truth. What I propose is that there is something that's unchanging. There is a person that was before time and before anything that was created that does not change with waves, with wind, Shifting Sands, in that he is the author and speaker of absolute truth. He has spoken. He has given us the truth, and the truth is in his son, Jesus. So what do we call truth? And is it absolutely? I would die on the hill saying, yes, there's absolute truth. And yes, there is a embodiment for truth, and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, and again, going back to this screen grab. So Trump supporters, they care. They have this mindset. So people are saying, this is how I feel. This is what I believe the truth is. But they're not filtering it through the lenses of the Bible. They're not looking at truth. They have a preconceived idea. They have a bias towards what they want it to say. And as a Christian, we want to really be careful of having a bias. We don't want to be, hey, I'm a Republican, I believe this, I'm a Democrat, I believe this. We don't want to get caught up into that. We don't want to get caught up into our biased understanding. We want to be neutral. We want to see things from the lenses of Christ, of Jesus, because he is ultimately our truth. And we want to believe that truth to be the ultimate authority. And so it's one thing to say, this is not true and I'm going to argue it, or hey, this is true and I'm going to support it. As a Christian, we don't want to really get to that. We want to be able to say, hey, really, does it really matter? Is this truth really going to bring us closer to the Lord? Is this truth really going to help us to have a better life? Is this truth really going to set us free? And I would say that getting caught up into this is not going to answer those questions. It might help educate us or help us understand more knowledge, but we have to be very careful to be non-biased. Does that make sense?
This is on my heart right here, Pete. I get this question all the time by people who don't believe in God. If there was a God, how can he allow like a pandemic? If you're saying that there's someone that's in control, that dictates everything, that knows all and is all, well, how can he allow all this suffering? How can he allow people to suffer? How can he allow a mother and father's baby to die? See, his thoughts are above our thoughts. His mind is bigger than our mind. We cannot go and say, well, if I were God, I wouldn't do that. We cannot make God fit in our box, but we need to fit in his box, and we need to see him as the ultimate source of truth. And why? Because these storms like we're in today, with a pandemic and with a world going upside down, our nation is being turned upside down because of the disunification of our country, because of this election, and we need something in the midst of this storm to anchor our life to. And I believe it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's truth that he has told us in his word. And we are to seek him, and that is seeking what is true and looking through the filter of what God's word says about it and what Jesus says about it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, another thought. I've pulled up another screen grab, and this is somebody that posted, said, OAN, which is a news organization, just reported data seized in server, seized by army, shows president won by a landslide, Trump 410, Biden 128. And again, there's going to be Christians out there that they're going to see this and they're going to have a biased lens. And they're going to look at this from a convenient truth because it best reflects what they believe is true. And or they might look at it from an empirical truth where they're going to say, hey, yeah, there's scientific fact that shows that this is what took place. But I'm again wanting to address or walk through is, how is a Christian supposed to look at this? I mean, are we to get this and this is the savior of the life? Oh my gosh, this is exciting. I'm gonna consume my whole life with this. I'm gonna share this with everybody. And I'm always asking the question, how is this drawing me closer to the Lord? How is this benefiting my hearers? How is this benefiting my brain and what I'm allowing in? Am I getting caught up into the bias, or how am I to look at this screen grab? And so, I don't know, Bob, do you wanna talk to that?
Well, so here's what I'm thinking while I'm listening to both of you guys speak on this about truth. You know, if we're followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, right? So we have a resource that the world doesn't have. So how we see truth should be different. But even saying that, so that's kind of the foundation, right? So all three of those, in my opinion, should line up. If we're doing things correctly and we're seeking God correctly, then all three of those truths should line up. But here's my thought, and here's what came to me while I'm listening to both of you talk. And Pete, you said, I think you were talking about just how about spending so much time on different things and kind of just getting overwhelmed and distracted by that. And this is the thought that came to my mind was, love God, love people. I mean, it really just boils down to that. Are we bringing glory to God in what we do? And are we loving others? And I think the enemy would want nothing more than to divide Christians. And he'll use anything to do that, whether it be politics or religion or social status, economic status. He'll use any tool possible. And right now, the tool of the day is politics. And mm-hmm. it's just... He is just having a field day dividing Christians. And again, I'm not even talking about the world. I'm not talking about the people that don't know any better, that don't have God living inside of them. I mean, Christians are at each other's throats. You know, you see it on just talking in conversations. You see it on social media. And it just breaks my heart.
Yeah, I'm just seeing so many Christians consumed by this election and just following their passions. And it's like there's Christians that are spending more time doing research on these things than they are in just in their Bible or in just, you know, spending time with others in fellowship. And it's, and I guess our caution that we're bringing to our listeners is we need to be very careful where we're spending our time or what passions that we are having or how we are aligning with certain bias based off our feelings or our thoughts. We want to really work through you know, these thoughts. We want to look at it from an empirical truth and say, okay, is there a science backing behind this? And how could we, you know, grasp that? Or how could we take from that to is it relevant? Is it true? Does it help us with our understanding of God's word and God's truth? And from a convenient truth, we have to really be honest with ourselves are we getting caught up in the hype? Are we getting caught up into what we see the mob mentality doing? Are we getting caught up into this? And is this what's consuming our life? And is it better? Is it really bringing God glory? And then ultimately, I think we talked about this, guys, a little bit, is our life really consumed by Jesus? Is our life a full consumption? Because if it is, then our whole mentality is everything that I'm saying bringing him glory. Am I spending my time wisely to reflect that of Jesus? Am I thriving in my moment? Am I doing things in such a way that are bringing God glory in how I thought and what I research and what I think and my bias and in the truths that I believe? And so these are questions that we really should grapple with and wrestle with and ask ourselves. And so I guess we're just trying to bring to light some of these things that are happening and that we're seeing and trying to help it. Any last thoughts, guys?
You know, I was thinking about that, this very point. I don't think Biden can save America. I don't think Trump can save America. The only person that can save America is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And, you know, I hear people saying, I just wish someone could show me. Especially Christians, I just wish someone could show me in the Bible how I should vote. Well, I got a verse that really stuck out to me in the last couple weeks, and it's John 16:13. And this is what the Word of God says. But when He, the Spirit of truth, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. See, we do have a guide in truth, and it is the Holy Spirit. And instead of watching on TV to find out what's true, instead of going on internet to find out what's true, we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our spirit and to show us through His word what is truth. And you know, you said something this morning, Pete, that just kind of really rattled me. And you said this, maybe God wants Biden to be president. Maybe God wants Trump to be president. It is not up to us. And God is the only one who really knows what's best for America. To explain when you said that, Pete, what you meant.
Well, again, it's from God's perspective. You said it earlier that his ways are much higher than our ways. He has a complete plan in store. If God wanted the rocks to fall, cry out, he would. He doesn't need us. God has a plan. God has his agenda. And God's ultimate goal is that people come to know him. His ultimate goal is that he has fellowship with his believers. And so he will use anything humanly possible, including killing his own son, to get his point across. And so that's God's ultimate agenda. And so everything that he is doing, he has one mindset, and that is to bring glory to himself. And that he is using all Amen. Things to work together for his glory. And so that's what God's doing. We don't know. We're not God. We need to stop trying to be. We need to stop wasting our passions in our pursuits of things that are pointless and it doesn't bring fruit, and really look for opportunities and ways that we can speak life to people, look for opportunities and ways that we can go, and then really align ourselves properly. You know, one of the things that President Obama said this last week, he said, "It is very hard for our democracy to function if we are operating on just completely different set of facts." And that's a point of view that he believes is his fact is true. And he is eliminating another side of facts. And the ultimate truth is, where's God in the midst of that fact? What is God saying? And we can have our opinions, we can have our thought process, but are we seeking Jesus? Are we looking to the author and finisher of our lives? Are we looking for our next chapter to be written by him, and not by our own efforts or by what we think is ultimately best? And so I guess that's the truth within that. And I think that gives us enough as listeners to kind of grapple with this week. And so with that said, let's just kind of move into our closing here. You know, every week we talk about, you know, circumstances or just different ways or that we have to be able to just share our truth with other people and just to love people. And even in circumstances, you know, how are we just loving people? And so, Bob, you shared it at the beginning. You know, we had, you know, someone accidentally cut your baby Jesus. And you know, again, our immediate response, and this is kind of shows where our heart is. Our immediate response a lot of times is to react, is to be angry, is to want to fix it or want to demand that, you know, that our rights were taken or that this shouldn't have happened. And the way that Jesus always looks at things is that he sees every circumstance, as we talked about, as an opportunity to bring him glory. And he was always about his Father's business. And whenever circumstances happen, instead of us trying to fight it or fix it or try to make it happen or get angry, immediately as a Christian, we want to learn to train ourselves, learn new habits that surrender it to the Lord, have eyes to see, ears to hear what God is saying, see things from his perspective, look for opportunities to be a light and the witness in the midst of this. It doesn't mean that he doesn't call his gardener. It doesn't mean that he doesn't, you know, take the next steps. But he does it in such a way as saying, thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to share your truth with my gardener. Thank you for the opportunity for me to be able to pray to you and surrender to you to give me comfort and peace, because you are ultimately that person. And so it's, again, taking our circumstances or taking things that are happening to us and surrendering it to him. And at the same time, then looking at people from his eyes. You know, so when we're at our restaurant or we're out in our daily things, and so is there anything that, real quickly, guys, that might have come up this week? Bob, you already shared your one circumstance, but anything in a short way, short manner, that a circumstance or an opportunity you had to be able to share your faith or have a circumstance and bring him glory?
Well, I think it's just, I had an opportunity yesterday where it was just a business call where I had someone reached out to me to kind of share their new business that was getting ready to open. And we were scheduled for 30 minutes. We ended up talking for 45. And after about 10 minutes of the call, I mean, the discussion just went to things of faith. And we were talking about Jesus and just talking about life, and just got totally away from business. And it just became just a really uplifting conversation where I was blessed by the conversation, and I think this person was as well. In fact, I know she was because she sent me an email this morning saying so. So I just be open, you know, when you're talking, whatever you do, whatever your line of work is, or, you know, wherever you happen to be during the day, just have your eyes open for opportunities to share the good news that you already have. I mean, people are out there, they're hungry. Ooh, I think people are more open than maybe they've ever been in my lifetime to you know, hear things, spiritual things, hear about Jesus, hear about, you know, what's just going on in the world, because there's so much noise. And it goes back to this truth that we're talking about. Man, we have that truth, and I think people are just hungry for it. And we were talking earlier today about, you know, is this the next awakening? Is there a revival about to happen in America? And man, you can just sense it in a lot of ways. And I don't think it has anything to do with which way the election ends up going. You know, regardless of, you know, on December 14th, who has 270 votes or more, I don't think that changes anything. I think people are starting to wake up. People are hungry. I know people are hurting, and they need that good news. They need that light.
And go ahead. I think that, again, it's like you're saying, there's a lot of fear to share our faith because we're afraid that people are going to come at us with, you know, the doctrine of this says that, and, you know, I believe in Calvin and this, and the truth of the matter is, most people are asking simple questions. Most people are saying, well, I just got a divorce and I'm in pain, or my kids are not listening to me, or, you know, I just lost my job, or I'm depressed right now, or, you know, I'm just not getting along with my mom or dad. And when we talk to people, it's amazing that most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, people are just coming with just real problems that Jesus can help, that Jesus can answer. And I think there's a lot of people here that might be just really wrestling with some of these real problems. And maybe they need to rededicate their life to Jesus. Or maybe there's some people that are speaking now or hearing us now that just really need to give their lives to the Lord. And that you know, that just really need to come to know who Jesus is. And so, Barry, do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, guys. What I do when I hear people are hurting, I give them a verse in Matthew. And to help you remember this verse, how many letters are there in Matthew? There's seven letters. So it's chapter 7 and it's verse 7. What do I do? How do I find truth? How do I find the answer? Well, Jesus said these words. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open to you. And here's the heart of the Father. Verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him and seek him?
Amen.
So today I just ask you, would you ask him? Would you seek him? Would you knock and allow him to open the door? And the way we do that is through prayer. And what a gift prayer is, to be able to talk to the one who authored truth, the one who embodies truth, and to come and say, dear God, my life is a mess and I don't know what to do. Would you help me? That's it, guys. Tell him that you need help. Tell him that you need him, and ask for it. And apologize for not coming to him, and say, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And remember that Jesus died for you, and thank him for that. Say, dear God, thank you for sending your son to die in my place to pay the penalty of my sin so that I can have eternal life. And when you don't know what to think and you don't know what truth is, ask.
Yeah.
I just appreciate that there is the creator of the universe. There is no one higher than him. There is no one even close to him. You know, how could we have the audacity to speak to someone like the president? We can, because he is our loving Father that wants us to ask and seek and knock. Would you do that today? Would you seek him for real truth? And would you seek him today for the answers of why you're struggling and hurting, and seek him for the truth that you need in your life today? And so thank y'all for tuning in, and thank you for being here and listening, and for being open that Jesus embodies truth. Bob, you know, you want to close us?
Yeah, no, Barry, that was just awesome. And you know, if anybody is searching for that answer, and they have more questions about God, or they want to know God, they can visit our website at riotpodcast.co. And we have a Know God section on there. We also have a common questions section. So there's, like, if you have different questions, like, why, if God is such a good God, why would he kill people, or why would he allow that to happen? There's some really good, hard questions that people wrestle with. And if you want to know more, you can go ahead and visit our website at riotpodcast.co. And you know, if you accepted Jesus, we would love to know about it. If you gave your life, there's a section under the Know God that you can fill out a questionnaire, and it would send us that information. And we would love to just be in contact with you, and maybe help you find a church if you're looking for a church or a healthy church. And we would love to send you a Bible and some material that will help you with your faith and walking through that. And so you can go ahead and, again, go on our riotpodcast.co and fill out that under the Know God section. And so today was an awesome just show, guys. Just great discussion. And Bob, would you like to just wrap it up for us?
Yeah, I just thank you guys. We really appreciate you. I mean, no point in us doing this podcast if you're not listening. So we just, we're grateful for you. And we just ask that you would share this with your friends. Hit subscribe. Make sure that you're getting, you know, getting the alerts when we get, when the new podcasts hit every week. And share with your friends. You know, if you want, tell them about our goofy stories. Maybe that'll strike a nerve and get them to tune in to say that can't really be true, you know, to get them to sign in and look. And then next week, join us for our very special Thanksgiving podcast. I look forward to being able to share that with you. And then just before I say goodbye, I just wanted to kind of remind you to keep Nicaragua and Honduras in your prayers. Yes. So they got they're getting hit currently just by a monster hurricane, and there's people suffering, and you know, if you have the means, reach out to charity organizations that are sending help and relief.
Samaritan's Purse.
There you go. Yeah. Samaritan's Purse is just a great place to do that, and they'll be, I mean, boots on the ground as soon as possible. So just keep them in your prayers. If you can help financially, do that as well. But man, we can't wait to talk to you again next week. And just have a wonderful week of worship, and look forward to talking to you on Thanksgiving.
Love you guys.
God bless you and your family. Take care.